Hey y'all, how you doing?
Not gonna mess with it. You guys can have this is gonna be like a low key episode because it is like I don't know. You'll see in a sec. This is a very conceptual album. What am I saying right now? Anyways, like I'm not gonna say that. See, me and Rachel were hanging out the other day and we listened to the I'm Nathan episode. And she was like, you know, sometimes I'll be listening to your album or sometimes I'll be listening to your podcast and I'll zone out for a little bit and then you'll still be talking about the same thing that I was before I zoned out and I'll have zoned out for a while. And so I realized that I'm gonna not do that anymore. I'm gonna try to start, centralizing my thoughts so that I can say more things. But anyways, so tonight I have been listening to this, a podcast episode called, let me see what it's called. It is called The Psychology of Psychedelics with, Roland Griffiths. And, it's by the Jordan B. Peterson podcast. And it's a very, very interesting episode. And it's really analyzing this, Roland Griffiths is a PhD, very, very well credentiated. He's a lot of really, really good credentials and has done a lot of research and a lot of studies throughout his life. And he specializes in the field of psychedelics, and he specializes in how they connect to anxiety, depression, all these other mental things. He did a study with cancer patients and the paranoia in terms of dying with that. So a lot of different mental and psychological stuff that had to do with psychedelics. And anyway, he's a really, really interesting guy. He's the way he talks, you'd be surprised to find out that he specializes in like shrooms. But very, very intelligent guy. And he was being interviewed by Jordan B. Peterson about those studies that he did where he, psilocybin is the, type of drug or compound that is in a lot of psychedelics. And so he was talking about, how he was really analyzing his studies. And if you have, it's a great episode, very, very interesting. If you have 2.5 hours, just listen to him explain it. But as someone who hasn't done shrooms, I'm gonna give my thoughts on it and summarize it. If you don't have 2.5 hours, listen to this, 15-minute episode. But yeah, so basically it was talking about how, I'm gonna explain the studies a little bit. So he would have, people who were like, in a safe, they felt safe and were safe in the testing, whatever testing like environment they were in. They were around, they had like people there who were watching over them, and they felt safe with those. The people who were getting tested felt safe with those people, and that was an important aspect of it. And they were given 5 milligrams of psilocybin, which is like a strong dose of psilocybin. And so it wasn't like they weren't studying like if this was like smoking weed or getting drunk, if this was like a thing that other people do, it's not like just a little bit of, like, it's not like just a small buzz. It's like a full on, they're getting plastered with psilocybin basically. And so it's a full on experience. And, these people will often like really delve deep into their consciousness. And I like the way that he put it where, he said like, you know, say, the Roland Griffiths said, like, if you ask someone like what they did and they were like, oh, I got really, really drunk with my friends, and then you ask them how the experience was and they were like, it's fun, and then you ask them if they learned anything from it, they gained anything from it, they were like, he would say all they could say they learned is that I shouldn't drink too much, that I shouldn't drink that much. But with psilocybin, he used that analogy multiple times. He said that you really like come away with a different perspective and a different way to look at the world, which is a different way to say perspective. But a different, you learn something, you know, you learn something about yourself, and you learn something about the life. And I think 80 to 90% of the study, which it's, again, like, I'm not saying 80-90% of people who do some form of psilocybin are gonna have these type of effects, but in this study where they felt safe and were, you know, psychologically apt for the studies and for doing psilocybin, 80 to 90% described it as one of the top 5 experiences of their life, and 30% described it as the top spiritual experience of their entire life. So I think when they say it has to be like, when they say top 5 experience, they mean top 5 most like meaningful experience, or top 5 most spiritual experiences, as opposed to top 5 experience in general. Because I don't know if 30% of them would consider it the most spiritual experience, then spiritual must be somewhere in there in the implied guidelines of what of the question for the other people as well, for the top 5 experience in general. But anyways, yeah, and I think, like, that's sort of means something, like, and I'm not saying, I don't know, I just think it's really, really interesting that it's that vast of a proportion. And I think, and it's a very wide study. He does this often. It wasn't like a few people. It's a pretty wide study. It's a pretty strong statistic. And so I think it's interesting that, this sounds like a school project. What the heck? I'm going to stop. I'm going to start having more grammatical errors. But I think, like, yeah, it's got to mean something that, and obviously there are going to be variables, and that's where the, like, 10 to 20% of people who don't consider it the top 5 experiences of their life, that's where the variables come in. But it's interesting that many people will have that powerful of an experience on, you know, a drug that at one point in history was looked at as this terrible thing. Where I remember watching this documentary about psychedelics, mostly because it was like a celebrity documentary called, like, Have a Good Trip, and it's on Netflix, and it was really entertaining because of the fact that it was all celebrities, so talking about their experiences. And it wasn't all celebrities; it was some scientists too and stuff like that. But it was a lot of celebrities, and in that, I actually don't remember why I was just bringing that up. Oh yeah, that one outlined the fact that, like, I don't know if it was necessarily directly during the war on drugs, but sort of connected with the war on drugs, there was this, like, sort of stigma that, you know, people who went on psychedelics were crazy and would jump out windows and stuff like that. And it's crazy that now that studies have been done on it, we're finding out, like, oh shoot, this is a very, very, this can be a very, very powerful thing and a very, like, influential thing on how people see the world. And another interesting statistic is that they, a lot of people, I think, probably a similar percent of the people who considered it to be one of the top 5 most meaningful experiences of their life. So, like, I don't know, 80 to 90% of people, they said that their life was better and more enjoyable, or their outlook on life afterwards for years on end. Was better and more enjoyable and more meaningful. Not like, because when you think about life, like, you know, people can be happier, people can be more joyful, but I think, like, I don't know, that's a very one-dimensional way of looking at life, because, you know, happiness isn't the, if you've ever seen Inside Out, you know that happiness isn't the only important emotion. And I didn't really get that when I watched Inside Out, but, like, as I'm growing up and maturing, and I'm 17, you don't have to listen to any of this. You can say this is all BS, and it could be, because I'm 17, so I don't know anything. But, and that wasn't sarcastic, by the way. I understand that there's a lot that I don't know. So, if you disagree with me here or think that it doesn't matter coming out of my mouth. That's probably true. But yeah, so even though I'm 17, I've already understood the perspective of Inside Out, that happiness is not the only emotion that matters. It's just the one that feels the best. And all the other ones, I would say, and I think every emotion is equally important, probably. And there's really, that's not true. I don't know. I was gonna say that there's only two emotions, love and fear. But that's each decision that you make is either made out of love and fear. That's not true with emotions. But anyways, all that to say that I think that the people who had good experiences considered their life to be more meaningful, and I think that's a better goal to go for than happiness, because if you're only going for happiness, then all those other emotions are going to get forgotten about, and you're not going to learn as much, and you're not going to have a fulfilling life when you're not being happy. And then when you are happy, it's going to be, you know, less meaningful, because I don't know, you really only consider, like, really only when you're happy, you really only think of that as being a part of your life, and not, and the other moments are more of just waiting until you're happy. But when you consider your entire life to be meaningful and important, then you know, the rest, then when you're happy, that becomes a lot more meaningful and important as well, and a much deeper happiness, I would say. I don't know. I'm gonna try that out and let you guys know. But anyways, and I'm it's really hard to get through statistics. I think I'm doing better of like saying more stuff than usual, and I'm really trying to do that. But there's also a few statistics that I still need to get through from that episode that I'm listening to that I haven't gotten to yet, that have taken me a while to get to. But anyways, so yeah, there was the 80-90% people that considered it one of the top 5 experiences of their life, and I'm not sure when they asked them that question. I don't think they, so maybe if it was right after, then yeah, that would make sense. But still, it's basically, if it was right after and they said that, I still think that means it's pretty meaningful. And another statistic is that, so say right now, like, you're at a 50% capacity of openness, and openness meaning like openness to change, openness to new ideas, openness to, you know, different perspectives. So, and openness is a measurable version of creativity. So if you're at, like, say, an average point of creativity right now, so we're gonna set a percentile points, basically. So if your capacity to be creative is 100, and let's say you're at 50 right now, after a psychedelic experience through psilocybin, according to these studies, I'm sure other compounds would work as well, your openness increased by 35%. So that is 85%. So say if you were at the average that you could be, you were at 85% openness at the end of it, which is a crazy significant increase. And that lasted years and years and years to the rest of your life. It's not like a one-time thing. Like, that is just that experience is something that, yeah, something that really, really opened your life. And I don't want to summarize the entire episode, because, you know, that's not a good podcast episode. So I think it's really interesting to hear them talk about it, and I've heard a summary. I don't know if I've necessarily heard a summary of the specific episode, but I'm pretty sure that I have, because my cousin told me about psychedelics one time, and I don't think he's taking them, but he was just talking about, like, studies about them, and then he didn't specifically cite this podcast, but I think it was because all the same things that he was talking about was on the podcast. But so I think hearing about it before and then hearing about it from the scientist who knows the details of it is good. But anyways, another thing is that they saw a more connectivity to other people, and that everyone is connected. And this next part, by the way, is sort of a Christian perspective of it, and it's, well, it's not really a Christian perspective, it's more of a biblical perspective, because I'm citing a biblical verse. So if you're not, I don't know, if you're not at a good place in terms of that, or if you're not a Christian at all, and you're not interested in whatever, you can turn it off. I don't mind. You know, most people don't listen to this anyways, but, and also when I talk, I don't know, whatever, I don't care. This is my podcast. But, you know, when I think of, like, morality, this is a complete shift, by the way, that my, the psychedelic part of the episode is over now. All you need to remember from that part is the connectivity of the fact that everyone's connected. So anyways, when I think of, like, morality, this is a very interesting episode. There's a tone shift from last episode, I would say, from all the other episodes. Anyways, so when I think of, like, morality and, like, what's the right or wrong thing to do, most things in life are, in my opinion, like, a gray area. You know, like, there's not really, some things are definitely, like, wrong, and some things are definitely right. But I think a lot of things, there's not necessarily any rules for them. I think the only rules that there are, that are the only constant rules, are don't hurt people and, you know, show them love. And that can mean physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever. Don't hurt people is bad, and showing people love and loving people is good. And I think I get that from the verse in the Bible where someone asked Jesus, you know, what are the most important of these covenants, or of these commandments, because God gave us these commandments to follow, and these ways to follow, what, and these rules to follow, what are the most important? And Jesus said, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two most important rules. And that's not verbatim. That's a pretty easy verse to remember, though. I should memorize it. Anyways, I think, like, you know, obviously that's like the sprouting of the golden rule, where, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. And I think that's a really, like, important part of morality, because I think, like, you know, there are biblical rules, and there are, you know, rules in other religions and whatnot, and there are, like, specific stuff for Christians that whatever they might see as rules that they have to follow. But I think in terms of how, as a Christian myself, the only way that I should judge people who aren't Christians, or even other people in general, because, you know, people interpret the Bible and they interpret God and they see God differently than I do, the only reason why I would say, like, that person is a bad person, and we're all bad people, obviously, but the only reason why I would think that someone is a bad person is if they showed me evidence of not doing those two things, or really not doing, because if they don't believe in God, of really not doing the one thing of loving other people as themselves. If I see someone who's not showing another person love and is showing them the opposite, I'll think, this is not something that I usually think about, but I'm just giving it as an example. Like, that's really the only time where I'll judge that person and say in my mind right now that person is being a bad person. Other than that, I really don't personally judge other people based on how good of a person they are. And of course, it's more complicated, like, how that love is received is important, because if you love someone and you're giving it in a way where they feel uncomfortable, then I think that could still be considered a bad person. But regardless, I think it's an interesting to sort of look deeper into the words of that verse, because I think there's a lot of different interpretations but I think that it's sort of overlooked at what that could mean, at other alternative meanings of that. You know, I'm not gonna try to contextualize what I'm about to say, because it's hard to do. So instead, I'm just gonna say what I'm about to say. I think it could also be interpreted as love your neighbor as yourself. There was one other that I can't remember right now, but another interpretation is, like, say if I was a person and I was like telling my friend, I don't know, this is an example to show why what I'm about to say. So grammatically speaking, if I was a person and I was saying, like, introducing my friend to another friend, or if I was like, I don't know, saying in a movie someone's like, treat him as if he was me, to say, like, respect him and whatnot, like, I feel like that's a little bit more specific of, like, treat him as well as you would treat me, you know, like, I'll treat him as if he's my own son, or I'll treat him as my own, or whatever. Like, that's more of, that's sort of deeper than saying, like, I'll treat him as well as I would treat my own kid. I think loving your neighbor as yourself, I just remembered the other interpretation. But anyways, I think with the connectivity that comes from, that people can see from psychedelic experiences, I think that is sort of outlined there, where maybe a part of yourself is in that other person, and maybe there is this sort of connectivity of like, I don't know, love your neighbor as yourself, and see them as being as complicated as yourself, and see them as being as deep as yourself. I don't know, I just think that there's a connectivity that is sort of there that people don't really look at as a connectivity, and instead they just see, oh, it's just how we should act, but it's not super deep. But I think it can be a deeper connectivity of, like, when we love them as ourselves, they can become a part of us, and we can become a part of them. And I think that there is I'm sure if you've done shrooms you'd be able to explain it better, but like, I'm sure there is a connectivity out there that is hard for us to see, but I feel like in some way we're all connected, and that verse can sort of outline that if you look at it in that sense. Another way is you can use that verse as a sign to, and I don't know if other people don't know this, I just haven't thought about it until now, where, like, love your neighbor as yourself, like, it could be love your neighbor, as yourself, loving your neighbor and yourself, because I think that that is often overlooked by a lot of people, or maybe just me, maybe just the people that I'm around, or maybe just, yeah, me, maybe I don't talk to enough people that I know about this verse, but I think it's important to love yourself, and I think that, you know, if you're not purposeful about that, you could overlook it. And I think that, you know, if he's saying the most important of these rules are these, I think that interpretation could be a valuable one for a lot of people, of saying it is biblically important, and it is important for me to learn how to love myself and know how to love myself, and be able to love other people, because, and to be able to love God, it's important for me to be able to love myself, because that those truths go hand in hand. And I think that, you know, I feel like that's something that's often overlooked and often seen as sort of a minor secondhand thing. And I don't think that that can be true. But anyways, yeah, that's the things that I'm thinking right now. And yeah, definitely a tone shift, but I don't, if you listen to that whole thing, I don't know, it's weird when people do that, where, like, if you watch this whole video, shout out to you, you're the top 1%. I don't know, maybe every single person listened to this entire thing, this is just stuff that's interesting to me, and I'm not going to be offended if you didn't listen to the whole thing, but you wouldn't know that if you didn't listen to this whole thing, so that maybe some people are out there thinking that I'd be offended, that I'm offended by them. I'm not, don't worry, it's okay. This episode was really more for me to verbalize my ideas anyways, so whatever. Anyways, yeah, I'll see y'all later. Love yourself, you deserve it. I also decided that this is going to be the first episode of season 4, just to let you guys know that. It doesn't really mean anything, but, you know, just thought that I'd do that, and I think it'd be a good place to start. So this is sort of a interesting episode in terms of comparing it to the other episodes. So, yeah, welcome to season 4 of Caleb's Thoughts Podcast, even though that doesn't mean much. It's okay. It's all right. You've made it through 4 seasons somehow. Actually, I don't know. I feel like season 2 never exists. I feel like I jumped right to season 3. There's no way I've had 4 seasons. Anyways, whatever.